Why would I just reference Sarah Jock's mom? I mean, obviously, I was talking about Marky Post from Night Court, not just mom Marky.
You got to talk about Marky Post from Night Court.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of Marky Post, though. I mean, Marky Post had quite the body of work.
She had quite the body. If anybody had seen, you know, The Last Dragon, we know that.
Or Scrubs.
She was holding. I mean, listen, she was still hot. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not taking that away. But like, if you're all right, she's dead. We're doing this. I cannot believe we're doing this. If you're gonna look
at, how else do you honor someone except think about how awesome they were in life?
That's true. And she was a great. I loved her as an actress. She was great on everything. But if you're gonna rate her level of beauty,
as which some would do, a little all right.
As some would do, I'm not saying us, but some would do it.
All right.
Where would you put her at her hottest? I could not think of another word.
Yeah. No. You know, it's tough to say because she had a lot of many years of hotness. Unlike, you know, some people who are like, maybe I got a week in there somewhere like 24. I was crushing. And then,
And that was 24 was a good year.
Yeah, it was a good year. It was
a very good year.
And then after that, it was pretty much all downhill. I mean, that was the peak.
I know. I came back up.
For her, though, 31. I mean, she was, still crushing, man. She's still crushing.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the way straight into the grave. She rocked it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
It is the Scene Snobs Podcast. I am your host, Mike Manhattan, joined, as always, by
the Madman, Casey Plott. A pleasure, all. It's wonderful to see you. Thank you for joining us.
We are the Scene Snobs, and we are live on Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. And we're bringing the topics tonight that will just make you feel good. Is Marky Post gorgeous? Of course she is. Was she great as an actress? Of course she was.
Yeah.
Night Court was brilliant. Scrubs was brilliant.
Everything she was in was wonderful.
Fall Guy, The Last Dragon.
Fall Guy. Wonderful. You know,
I mean, give the woman her due.
He was awful because Lee Majors was a nightmare human. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He's still alive though, so shut up.
I mean, sorry, dude.
How is he still alive and Marky Post is not?
Right.
I don't understand it. I feel bad. Well, we have some people watching. Yay. Some of our very awesome supporters. And Mr. Paul Dunn is here. Good evening.
Hi, Paul. Gentlemen.
What's up, Paul?
Paul, newly engaged Paul.
Yes, congratulations.
Congratulations, bro. Freaking awesome.
That's right, dude. Congratulations to you. And I mean, he got
Sam.
I will say this. He got it done.
Yeah. Yep. That happened. I hope you feel good about yourself.
I do. And you know what? He also consider it done. Paul's business in the North Carolina area. Make sure you guys are checking it out. He's on Facebook right now. We're going to have all the links up on the website because he is a sponsor of the show. So thank you, Paul, for that.
And he's a glorious human being.
Yes. So. Oh, yes. Beautiful, too. Very pretty.
Oh, yeah. Very. Yeah. Look at the eyes in the picture don't do it justice. He's really a stunning man in person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, yes, he is.
I am, in fact, wearing this Friday the 13th Jason Voorhees mask that I got at the Carolina Fear Fest, where we became friends with Paul.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
That was a rapid thing, man. We went from like, hey, to buddies. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. To sponsor, Patreon member, you know, just awesome supporter of the show. He's been, I mean, the man messages me to check up on me while I was in my recovery. Like, he's
well, very, you need it, you know.
Very good. I do.
Yeah, you need constant stroking.
All the time.
I hope someone has been telling him how great he was today, because I did not. hey, George.
That's what I'm saying. George is here. George from Dueling Aces and the Perfect 10, of course. George, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Chris Sales, one of my favorite human beings.
Hi, Chris.
And I love how it's like he's saying congrats to Paul. You know, hello to you, Chris. Thank you. And they're congratulating each other because everybody, once you're a scene snob, you're a scene snob.
Well, it's a matter of togetherness and communing-idity. Yep.
And then, of course, we have Mr. Fred Carroll.
Hi, Fred, who recently celebrated a birthday.
Yes, happy birthday to you, sir. I love it. You are 34 years young.
Looking gorgeous as always.
As always. And
he's got a level of curmudgeonliness that I just adore.
He does, but it's like a fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Walter Matthau in Grumpy Old. it's that type of curmudgeonness that you just love. And you can catch that curmudgeonness on his show, Within the Head of Fred, and Ending the Stigma. every week. Truly fun shows. I've been on them.
I'm sorry, that was a glorious backhanded comment. That was just such a good compliment.
It's a good one. Good Walter Matthau.
And yes, I do. This is hair.
Yes, that's the only hair.
Gosh.
It's transplanted to look like a headband.
Yeah, just give it time. It just keeps changing. It's a glorious thing.
Corinne is joining us. Corinne, thank you. Every week she's here. We love you guys for being here. Paul, thank you guys so much. Sam and I are watching right down together. Sam, congratulations to you. You have chosen a fine suitor in Paul. He gets things done.
Again.
All right. I'm going to do this as much as I can.
I get it.
I'm going to use puns.
You're
going to
get it done.
I couldn't even hold it. Thank you so much. That was to Chris. And Chris, of course, says that and the Jersey threats.
Ooh, so Jersey threats. I'm getting right into this. All right, y'all.
So
I was holding off on this. I haven't brought it up yet. I was on vacation with my daughter in Connecticut, had a righteous good time. We went to a place called Old Sturbridge Village. So at Old Sturbridge Village, they reenact life like it's the 1820s, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so that's what they do. And it's so strange to me because I don't know if these people are actors or if they live there or if it's a commune. Look, there's a whole lot of things that I was going off of that I could have focused my entire conversation about that. But instead, I had to have the trip home. So the trip home, which I just got back from.
Just, and that's legit.
He just
stopped at home, ate, and came right here to do the show. That's dedication. You've got to give it to him.
That's 9 hours on the road for you.
He got it.
I love you.
He got here for you guys. Did he get it done? No, he's no Paul.
No.
But he got here.
I got here.
And we're doing it.
My daughter's alive. And the vehicle is running.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
We're going to have check-ins with this daughter in the car every few seconds.
Yeah, we got to keep checking back.
By the way, she is very comfortably sitting upstairs.
Yeah, no, she's not currently in the car. That'd be terrible. That would be a child abuse, and you shouldn't abuse your children.
Except in Connecticut. Do-do-do-do.
Well, they don't know much in Connecticut. They're still figuring stuff out. Puritans are weird.
Stubborn Jurors. What is the name of the place you said? Stubagees?
Old Sturbridge Village, he's having a stroke.
My stroke is happening.
It's happening. So Old Sturbridge Village. So needless to say, that was a fantastic trip. And I was very curious as to what kind of peoples these are who are working these jobs. Because they have like tin crafters, blacksmiths, a whole shebang. I mean, it's a town running like the 1830s, but the animals and the farms and then just all of it. So there's a lot of questions there and a lot of things going on. But on the way home, I got hit by one of those giant red dots you see on the Doppler as you're driving by. And, you know, you look at the weather patterns, you're like, wow, whoever's in that red, that would really suck to be driving through that, huh? So this guy wound up doing that, but it was amazing. So we had this group of about five other cars, and everyone went the exact same speed when it was time to slow down. And then everybody hit all of our hazard lights at the same time. And then we all just moved in unison, just going through this storm, cutting through mountains the whole way for an hour.
That sucks.
Through the pouring rain, 40 miles per hour on I-84. It was ridiculous.
You just got to throw some Nora Jones on at that point and cruise.
Oh, no. I turned everything off. I was in the middle of playing a game with River, and like, it was so cool because she's putting together this awesome story. So she's asking me how to spell words. So I'm like, yeah, I'll teach you how to spell words. So the whole time I'm like, hey, spell like this, da da da, just cruising out, do, 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 loving life. And then all of a sudden, oh, dear heavens, roll them up. It was that fast, man. And I just couldn't even see the 10 feet in front of me. It was just, River's like in the middle of asking me, how do you spell this? I'm like, not right now. Sorry, honey.
I get that tension.
Radio's off.
That's dad tension right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hardcore. It was a very Steve Martin trip. It was because then.
I don't have so much room on my side. You have very little room.
No. So then the final part happened. And this is where I'm figuring stuff out, man. So we were talking about mythological creatures, right? We said we were going to bring those up today.
Yep.
So
did you see the Kraken?
Something very strange happened. I had a two-hour friend who was in a semi-truck who was one of two things. I want you to follow me here because I have a thing about semi-trucks. So we already know there's one direction this is going, which is the right direction. Well, it could have been either a methed up dude trucker from Jersey because they were Jersey plates
Listen, just because the jersey plates doesn't mean they're from Jersey. Wait, was it on the trailer or was it on the rig?
Both. Yep. So touché. He was cruising, cutting in and out of traffic.
So he was doing a good job.
He was weaving. Whoa.
Yeah.
Like everybody doing the full stops behind it. You know, we're like creating the accordion effect and trying to figure out where to find our duck around. So
you guys don't know how to travel with Jersey drivers.
So I finally figure out how to get in front of this dude about 20 minutes in. I'm like, this is a nightmare human, and I've got to get in front of him, right?
No, you don't. That was a bad idea.
So he continues to pace me the whole trip. So this is either methed up Jersey trucker, which I'm leaning kind of hard on, or I've brought up on our show too many times the trucks in Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah. Well, was AC/DC, in fact, playing at any time?
Of course.
Well, then.
It's a road trip with me.
I think you've gotten your answer.
It's Russian AC/DC, like all the time. Aerosmith when you want to really blast.
Clearly, Stephen King had a crane shot involved somewhere around here.
So all I'm saying is I am damn lucky I made it home. And that was a mythological creature I realized I didn't want to see. I don't want to see Maximum Overdrive semis barreling down on me, going way faster than I'm comfortable driving anyway. So the dad stress of Steve Martin is now up here. So now it's like readjusting the mirrors every 5 minutes. Like,
Steve Martin would be a good one to pull that off too.
I
think he'd be, you know, I can't remember a movie where he you've seen tense moments with him in movies.
Have we? Oh, well, you know what? Father of the Bride was pretty tense.
And hot dog buns, man.
Yeah.
Every time. Let's get into mythological creatures. First, I want to pull up Paul's comment here. You boys get it done right. Sam will finally be done after we are married. All right. Consider it done, everybody. Consider it done. So what brought on
mythological... Well, my five-year-old there. Five-year-old reaction there.
Oh, dude, I'm all about... Was it Meatloaf? Did the trucker look like Meatloaf?
No, the thing is, I never saw the trucker.
Oh, boy, it's Jeepers Creepers.
That was the other part here, guys.
Yeah.
Never saw the trucker. Never.
Well, actually, that's a question I want to ask to everybody, especially we have so many horror fans kind of watching tonight. How do you feel about the road type of horror movies like Duel or Jeepers Creepers? The first one was a very much road trip movie. Joyride.
Wrong Turn.
You know, 1 through 94. All shot in the beautiful West Virginia.
Hills Have Eyes.
The Hills Have... They were on a road trip, but they were very much stopped. Like, I'm not talking about like The Hitchhiker. It's a road trip movie. Like, you're traveling.
It Follows?
That's a trippy movie, and there is a lot of traveling. But I'm going to go another route with that and say, no, that is not what I mean. Or Maximum Overdrive. Yes,
well, Maximum Overdrive is, first of all, numero uno.
They're trapped in the building, but it is vehicles. So, like, I'm going to count that as, like, a part of that horror genre, subgenre, of course.
Yeah.
So tell me, what do you think? Does it have a place in horror? And what are some of your favorites?
The Stand?
That's a travel movie, but not a road trip movie.
All right.
And tell us more if we're missing it. Yeah, The Hitcher.
Hitcher's a good one.
Was it Hitcher or Hitchhiker? That was a good one, though.
No, Hitcher,
With Rucker Hauer. Will is here. What's up, Wise Man? How you doing, buddy?
Wise!
Thanks for joining us. Paul, I love the road horror movies because, to an extent, they are the real fears when you are taking a road trip. Vacancy kept me from going to hotels for a bit.
Yo, Vacancy, man, for real. And Psycho. But, I mean, I want to go to those Overlook hotels, the ones that have the one levels that, you know, some shady stuff is going on and there's one room that's never actually used because that's where the bodies are kept. Like,
that's very true.
I love those places.
I will say this. So why don't we make one announcement? Because we have a lot of announcements to go through tonight. First announcement being Casey and I are coming up with a new fictionalized podcast show. It's going to be like a 20-minute long show. It's going to be exclusive to YouTube. It's a video. What are we calling it? We're calling it,
We calling it? Did we actually put a name to this thing?
I think I did because I came up with the characters. I'm going to find it. I know it's here. Shooting the Sheets.
Shooting the Sheets. That's
Shooting
it.
The Sheets with Guy Gasly and Eleanor Von Dealer.
Dealer Strahler.
I almost got it right.
Dealer Strahler. We're so close.
So where I play Guy Gasly, he plays Eleanor Von Dealer Strahler. And it's a podcast about two ghosts talking about the terrible world of ghost hunting.
Yeah. Yeah. How they are just constantly being assaulted in their undeath. And it's, you know, we try to put maybe a spin to something that's really affecting a lot of ghosts out there.
It's very true.
Yeah.
And we're excited for it. So we recorded one. It's going to be going out very soon. So look out for that. And then we're going to do some more, you know.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
So that's one.
Hopefully you like it.
Hopefully you do like it. If you don't
let us know.
I'm okay with that.
Or, you know, move along with your life. There's other stuff.
Does Death Race 2000 count? To a point, I would say that's more.
But then do we add thriller. Marathon Man? I feel like if we add Death Race, you got to add.
Again, not a driving, but a traveling movie. And actually, one of my favorite stories comes from that movie when Laurence Olivier yelled at Dustin Hoffman and told him, want to try acting next time.
Sounds about right.
I mean, what are you going to do?
I have a horror bug out bag in my chair. Yeah.
That's a good thing to have.
It's smart to have. So Corinne says, movies like that make me want to have a horror bug out bag in my trunk. And that's completely logical because I do.
Let's switch gears then.
Okay.
What do you put in a horror movie bug out bag?
Oh, well, that's easy, man. First of all, you got a first aid kit. Because the one thing that everyone always gets is stabbed, shot. You know, something terrible happens where you need stitches, glue, something. So you got to have a first aid kit.
So you need like a legit first aid kit.
Okay. And then usually a shovel, because like one of those little folding spades, because it also acts as a weapon. And what's the other thing you always need in a horror movie at some point is a weapon.
That's true.
So you got those two to start.
Do not pack a gun.
Never pack a gun.
Pack a spade.
Yes.
Because
you will always find out that when you go to your gun, it's unloaded.
So tell us what are some stuff you'd put in your horror movie bug out bag? What have you learned from horror movies to put in the bag? Smart. And we will continue. Chris Sale says, California, Brad Pitt and David Duchovny was underrated. Yes, that's a good one.
Really good one. You know what? Yeah. What was the one with Reese Witherspoon and Kiefer Sutherland? Freeway?
Yeah, that's another one.
Freeway was awesome. I really dug that. That was jacked up.
Wise says Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yes, I will agree with that.
100%.
Because they are on the road trip.
Yeah.
It's just a stopover. I would put that more into the road category than I would Hills Have Eyes, because Hills Have Eyes, they're stalled out.
That's fair. And they had to walk and everything else. Yeah. They were actually stuck there, and then the terrible camper scene.
George says, are you done with horror movies yet?
Look at this guy. Oh,
this guy over here, he's like the perfect 10 of people who are watching this show right now.
No, get out of here. Come on. You guys.
Puns all day. Puns all day. It's a very punny show. Okay. That one sucks.
So yeah, please.
Go past that one.
Continuing.
Does Christine count as a driving movie or Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
So we agree on Texas Chainsaw. I don't count Christine because it's a monster or creature movie.
Yeah, there's not many car scenes. Like, it's the one, of course, Travolta and PJ Souls. Well, there's some one in Christine. Oh, Christine! I'm thinking Carrie.
Oh, my Lord.
What is wrong with me?
I don't know what happened to you. It's all right.
But
still a creature movie. You know, I mean, it's not a driving movie as much as...
It's not a road trip.
Road trip.
Yeah, definitely not a road trip movie. Okay, what are we going with? Good tennis shoes in the bag so I don't trip over dumb stuff. That's a great idea. Yeah,
you need
good tennis shoes.
Very smart.
I maintain that if you were taking a road trip, fine, pack flip-flops. You never know when you put them on. If you're staying in a hotel,
I live my life in sandals. It's all good.
Yeah, and that's why you would die, because you'd have to run. And you're fast. Don't get me wrong. You're fast.
Fine with these things. Famous last words. You would not be back.
There's no way you're fine in your mandals. There's not happening.
First of all, I have worn them so long now that my foot understands how the physiology of the mandal is part of me now.
I will maintain this point that you'd outlast me in a horror movie, even if I was wearing tennis shoes and you were wearing mandals, because of our biological makeups. But
no. Here's the thing. They would think you were already dead because they stabbed you 40 times, but shocker, you could survive it. And I'm the one who's like, kind of gets like the half cut, the nick, and all of a sudden it gets infected immediately. Oh my God, just some dude. Terrible death that the killer never intended. They stroll up as I'm already on my way out, and be like,
leave him alone. And they just look at me and they're like, you're not dead yet?
No.
Are you kidding me? I'd be the fat kid in the wheelchair from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Get over it. I'd just be like, I don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden Leatherface comes out because I didn't hear anybody walking in the woods.
Obviously, yeah.
Paul says the opening in Urban Legends taught me always to check the damn back damn seat. Yes.
Chucky got me with that one, man.
Yeah.
Chucky got me with that one, dude. Chucky got me with that one and checking under my bed. And I wasn't checking under my bed because I was afraid of ghosts, because we all know ghosts are really the ones who are being taken advantage of here. No, yeah. I was worried about Chucky or Gage, that little freaking kid from Pet Sematary. Want to play a game? And then and just taking the Achilles, man. The Achilles. Yep.
It's done. It's done. It just destroys you. I will tell you this, though.
It's rough.
So whenever I think about it, though, yeah, those two were pretty scary. But, like, the one movie, the one takeaway I would put into a movie that I had was always protect your battleship after watching Under Siege.
Battleship? Oh. Oh, of course. And
you've got to make sure that you're protected. And I do that to this day. My battleship is still safe. Or is it an aircraft carrier? I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's battleship.
Let's just go to the second one and say your train needs to be safe.
Your train needs to be safe from Eric Bogosian. So be careful of comedy writers.
Not even. Yeah. In the first one, you had Tommy Lee Jones. You had Gary Busey.
Yeah.
And like good acting.
Military guys who, yeah.
Not like crazy Gary Busey, who I still love and would love to see in more movies.
Yeah, he's great. I still love crazy Gary Busey because he's just crazy about the good stuff.
And he loves
he's crazy about being good to people. It's like, yeah, do that.
Yep, 100%. Now, put up a picture of Gary Busey now and put up a picture of Bill Cosby now and say, which one of these is the crazy person who's hurting people? And then you take Gary Busey down and you go buy a piece of his artwork because he donates all of that.
It took a really weird turn. That was a heck of a bypass, man.
Well, you know what it was? So, all right, real quick, I'm going to go through these comments and I'm going to tell you exactly what that came from.
Corinne is all correct on this. A roll of toilet paper for when I poo myself in a bag.
Yeah, and a change of underwear.
Oh, yeah. New pants.
Must have tidy whities. That's it. All the time. BVDs. And Chris says, external Wi-Fi hotspot for my phone. Seems you are always out of service. Why wouldn't you just bring a satellite phone? That's it. You know, sat phone, as they call it in the movies.
Just get a sat phone. Just have a sat phone. Did you keep your monthly membership up to your sat phone?
I saw Jurassic Park 3. I know when you need a sat phone. So the Bill Cosby
But you're not wrong, because so many movies taught us if you have a sat phone,
it works.
You're fine.
There's satellites everywhere.
Anywhere.
But
the phone in our pockets, which are run off satellites, don't.
And closer towers.
Yeah.
Whatever. People, yeah, that's such a writing plot hole that just drives me crazy.
Well, it's a great one.
I will say this. Okay, so the Bill Cosby thing comes from today, where I was watching A Few Good Men. No, so it's scene with Jack Nicholson where he's talking to them at lunch.
Okay.
And he's saying to, and he says to Demi Moore's character.
Why don't you ask me nice?
Well, no. Before he gets to that, okay. she goes, take check of your tone. I don't know. Maybe the heat here was making me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And like the way he's talking, I'm like, that's the way he talked to normal people. And he was always like hooking up with women. So like you look at him and the way he talks to people, especially back in the day, and you're like, which one of these actors would you say was a rapist?
Yeah, fair. No, and, I guess that. Yep.
Like,
yep.
Not totally Heath Huxtable in 1991, you know? Like,
no, of course not.
So it was like, I start thinking about more actors. I'm like, man, there's a stigma, you know, and that needs to end because now we're finding that out.
Yeah.
But Paul Dunn says, I got it done by watching the 1953 Hitchhiker movie. I'd never seen it. I need to check that out. Paul, you got
it. Yeah,
one thing I really like about Paul, too, is he gives me some very cool old school horror that I didn't even know existed. Hmm. Like, he'll pop up on his Facebook, and I'm like, oh, I need to check that out.
Fine.
Not The Thing from Another World. I have seen that many times, but it is a great recommendation, sir.
Yeah.
So, mythological creatures.
So Maximum Overdrive vehicles. So that's off the list. That's what I don't want to
that's
see.
That's what you don't want. What do you want to see, though?
Well, I mean, so I had to give this some serious thought because I was like, it'd be cool to see a griffin, right? And then it wouldn't be cool because it's a flying lion.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to see a flying lion.
Like a Pegasus would be better, at least the horse.
But it's a horse. It's a flying horse. If you see like a fly. I mean, I'm pretty sure Dane Cook did a bit about this, about flying horses. Like, don't be afraid of me. Yeah. But needless to say, flying horse is not cool either. Pegasus is not cool. Plus, if it's a Pegasus unicorn thing, I don't want it to have a flying horn, too, because then it just spears you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, that's messed up.
All right.
Oh, and think about the ones who are trying to train, and you happen to walk by, and they fall, like, they fall out of the sky on you. You're going to take some serious damage. They're just going to get up.
Here's my stipulation, though. Here's my stipulation. It's a mythical creature you want to see.
Right.
So yes. We'll keep you safe.
Yes.
You're at a distance. Maybe it's in a room. Yeah. You're behind glass or something.
Yeah.
So what mythical creature would you most like to see?
Medusa.
Ooh, that's a tough one, though, because like even like if it's at a distance, you lock eyes.
You said there's a way to make it safe. And no, that's
I agree.
There's a way to make it safe. I 100% want to see Medusa. Because supposedly, Medusa was the most smoking hot chick around until Aphrodite was all like, you ain't up in my business, and changed her face and made her unable to be seen.
Yeah.
So, because anytime she's gazed upon, turned to stone. So, if I can gaze upon Medusa, I'm saying that'd be pretty righteous.
Okay, but let me ask you this then.
Mm-hmm.
If you put Medusa in like one of those police interrogation rooms where it's window, and you can see like one, a two-sided window or two-sided window.
I know what you're going
with. You know what I mean, one-sided window. And she's on the mirror side,
uh-huh.
And she's looking.
Uh-huh.
Does she turn to stone?
No, of course not.
Why not?
Because there's got to be some kind of protections against that as well. I mean, we're playing with magic here, man.
Fair enough.
We could do whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
if Medusa's legitimately something I can go see, then someone has figured out how to prevent her from harming herself or others at this point.
That's fair.
In technological advancement. If Bright taught me nothing.
All right, fair enough. But actually, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because my choice is from ancient Greek times, started mm-hmm. there, and then it was big during pirate times, as I like to call them. Pirate times, always. There's always pirates, so I don't know why.
Yarg.
There's always pirates.
Always a pirate around somewhere.
There is.
Am I dressed like a pirate? Oh, no. Oh, no, this is going to become a terrible joke now.
You're a pirate. Oh, my God. Yes.
Son of a biscuit. That was a backfire. All right. No, all right. Yarg there, matey. Welcome to Pirate Times. What would you like to see in our mythological creature department?
Well, first of all, don't worry about how you're dressed. It's all right.
I'm gonna smack you.
My kid watches Santiago of the Sea.
Yeah.
And like Santiago's thing is like, a good pirate always does what's right. And I'm like, are you a pirate then?
He's not a good pirate.
He's not a good pirate.
He's a bad pirate, but like a good pirate?
I don't know if that pirate
That's like a Captain Kidd pirate. Like he wanted to be bad, but he didn't really. Like he just wanted to wear the clothes.
Was Napster a good pirate? Anyway.
LimeWire was.
Not.
No.
You know, because just because you got all of your music doesn't mean you didn't get something else.
Oh, you got a lot of other things.
It's like going out for drinks one night. You got the jukebox there. You listen to everything you want, but you're going home with an STD. it's just the way it is. I will say this, though. I would like to see a Kraken off in the distance, like taking out a ship. Like I feel bad about it, but it's... But I can walk out and be like, oh, dude, I saw a Kraken.
Like, so you crazy. Want to see like some kind of big, terrible disaster?
No, just a Kraken. You're
like just a Kraken wiping out a ship.
Well, I feel like you won't see the Kraken
How big is the Kraken going to be? So you reckon the Kraken is probably going to be the size of a building.
Well, at least I didn't say Cthulhu. Then you're just done.
Well, that's everyone.
You're just done.
If it's Cthulhu, everyone's done. You're not, or you're just going crazy, which means you're probably seeing Cthulhu.
I've seen in the mouth of madness. I know how this works.
But yeah, so the Kraken thing, man, they can be so huge. It's like, think of like your high school and then double that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, like, they're like three tankers. So I'd like to see one take out a tanker because the tanker's only crewed by five dudes. So I'm pretty sure they could get out just fine. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, but once you're out, you're like, you're there.
And of course, if the tanker's full of oil, that's problematic for everyone.
All right, if not a Kraken, maybe seeing Davy Jones would be cool. Like the Flying Dutchman off in the, like, again, seeing.
Oh, the Flying Dutchman. I thought you meant the Monkees lead singer.
I did. Is that not him?
Yeah, they're not the same guy.
He was not the pirate creature?
In fact, they are not. And I just learned this myself. I was blown away. Had no idea.
That's disappointing. Because I was kind of hoping, like,
he'd kick out some cheer of Sleepy Jean, yo-ho.
That's like, tra-magic. It's a new phrase that I've come up with.
Yeah, no, stop trying to make tra-magic work. It's not happening.
It does work. It's tragic magic. Because even if there's a tragedy behind the magic, like somebody dies, you're still seeing magic, so you're at a magic show.
So it's like if I watched a pterodactyl, which should be extinct.
No, that's not. That's snag different.
Someone and fly in the sky and different. Then get dropped and fall to their hear them plummeting to their death.
No, no, that's like that's like Voldemort coming out and like killing somebody. Like when Twilight Kid got killed in the fourth Harry Potter movie by I think it was Voldemort or somebody. It was somebody killed him.
Twilight Kid. Oh, Robert Pattinson.
New Batman. New Batman.
Right. New Batman. Shovel face.
It's shovel face Batman. So now that's tra-magic. So I'm gonna make it work.
Like
it's tragic magic. Yeah, so even if you're watching this and it's a tragedy and somebody's getting killed, you still get a magic show and you have to be happy at a magic show.
I feel like tra-magic is something that happens at like a Bigfoot concert when the big dinosaur shows up and it's supposed to crush cars and the cars are supposed to be empty, but there's a family of six that wound up sleeping in there.
I don't think you are not understanding the term tra-magic because you keep bringing up dinosaurs. I'm saying it involves magic.
I'm just saying dinosaurs are pretty fucking magical, all right?
Name a wizard and it better not be a dinosaur.
Name a wizard?
It better not Merlin. Be a dinosaur. Okay. Well, no, I know wizard. I'm asking you to name a wizard.
So I named the Merlin.
So take
the wizard.
Take Merlin. Who did Merlin kill?
I mean, Morgana?
No, that is tragic. But it's also a magic show. So it's tra-magic. I mean, you got to enjoy it.
Oh, man, I went for the ride. And I was pleased. I'll check back in an hour to let you know.
Don't worry. At our merch shop, we'll have tra-magic shirts soon. So, was House of a Thousand Corpses a road trip movie? Sure. No. They're
that
on
was reject?
Because they didn't go on a road trip. They went to go see the house.
It was a destination.
It was a destination. Okay, yeah, fair. Yeah. If anything, that's a sideshow type movie.
Okay. I like it. It's a stretch, but we'll go.
Chris Sale says, would love to see a Wendigo. There is a movie called Wendigo, and it's good.
Yeah, the Wendigo one, according to him, but I also always go back to, what was it, Hunger? Ravenous.
That's a good one, too. So look them up, because there are some good Wendigo movies.
Yes.
Paul has a... Oh, it was a long one here.
Here we go. I got it. Done. Yeah, it's gritty, and the classics lay down the road.
No, can you stop real quick? Can you do it in a voice?
Yeah.
Do it in McConaughey. I was watching Days and Confused earlier.
All right. Hey, Paul Dunn. How are you doing? It's gritty, and the classics lay down the road for what horror is adapted to today. I wish everyone had more respect for the oldies. I feel like my generation is ruined horror by needing constant stimulation from jump scares and gore. I prefer Hitchcock horror to almost any nowadays. No CGI, blood everywhere, but still terrifying. Yeah, hey, you know what, Paul? I feel you. That's all right. All right.
Paul, I like where your head is at. I would love to actually sit down and talk to you about that. We should have Paul on the show so we can talk. I would love to talk about that more. So we're going to save that horror topic for us.
That's a good one, because I agree that there are certain things I prefer, the thrill and suspense and the building of that, more than the jump scares. At the same token, Grudge is still one of the scariest movies to me.
It Follows, another really good one. And that's a Hitchcockian type.
You said cocky.
Hitchcockian. It's dramatic. I'm trying to make it work.
It's, you know what? If you force it further down the throat, they have to swallow it eventually.
Take your medicine.
Take your medicine. You're going to love this.
We're going to get it done.
It came back.
I love it. Bring it right back around.
All right, George G., I love the ice-breathing dragon. Sign me up for one. Dude.
That would be cool.
That would be amazing.
Again, if I got to see it and not be there, Yeah,
I'm down. Ice breathing dragons, I'd want to fly, man. Not gonna lie, I'd be the guy who'd be eaten because I'd have to go to the dragon. I'd be drawn to it. I'd be like, dragon!
Wait, you're afraid to see a griffin?
Oh, because fuck that.
A lion with wings.
Fuck
but
that.
You're like, I'll hop on this dragon.
Yeah, all I'm day. Like, it's I'm a like, dragon. It's meant to be that way.
I mean, you're talking to a guy whose lifelong dream is to ride a giraffe.
Which you can like, still do.
Hardcore. And I remember.
I mean, they're in danger because we're, you know, murdering them in swaths. But yeah, you should totally go ride a giraffe.
Remember when I went to go work for you at Coachco?
Mm-hmm.
They asked the question on the application, like, you know, would you, if you had the chance, would you ride a giraffe? And that, before they even asked this question, that was a yes. That's 100% a yes. That's always been something I mean, I said.
Who wouldn't?
And I get, like, they expected, like, a, yeah, I would definitely do that, or no, that's crazy. They're beautiful, majestic creatures, which they are. And I gave a dissertation about why riding a giraffe in my backyard would make me feel really good.
Because it would make anyone feel really good.
But I do like ice dragons. That is pretty cool. I have good news. You just need to watch Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm not going to see that Flying Dutchman. That's a weird Flying Dutchman.
I want a real Flying Dutchman.
I want to see it like with the mist and like the big freaking frick off barnacles and shit.
Like my idea, floating. My ideal moment of seeing a Kraken or the Flying Dutchman is watching like, what's that show where they go out and they crab?
Deadliest Catch.
That's what it is. Yeah. Like they get caught up by it. And it's like, it's sad. But I got to see something.
I love Deadliest Catch.
Oh, not a bad show.
It's great. I thought about doing it. But well, not now. That's crazy talk. But before a child, when I was just a maniac drunk person, yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. I probably would have done it back then.
Yeah.
Could you imagine seeing Kronos in real life?
Nope.
No. Don't do that.
That's terrifying.
You say his name like that, he's going to come.
That's terrifying. Just seeing that giant, I mean, what would you, like it's a soot monster thing.
Just like dripping. Like that would be the end of
Cabin in the Woods. He's so huge. Yeah.
That's what that would be. That's seeing Kronos. You see Kronos and it's the end of Cabin in the Woods. We're all dead.
Yeah, man. Forget that noise.
So no, I don't want to see things where it has to end with all of us dead.
Yeah. Let's avoid the death part.
Yeah. And I would want to see the Jersey Devil and punch it in the face.
But yeah, that's more like a playful thing. Like that would actually be a side attraction in Jersey because everyone would be beating up the Jersey Devil. That's all that would be happening.
I'm pretty sure.
The devil would literally just be a slump and everyone would be like, oh, yo, if you punch the devil, let's go do it.
That's what happens when you choose Jersey. I was going to curse, but I'm not going to do it. Traumatic example, the movie The Prestige, when his wife died during the act. Very tragic, but a magic show.
You're killing me, Paul.
You're
killing me here, buddy.
Paul, you done good.
Sam?
You done good, Paul.
And Louise.
Just... No, Sam's going to be a dun, so she's all about the puns. The dun puns.
Because you're done with those puns.
Man, people listening to this right now are like, what?
Why? So many lifelong questions and queries that have now come wash over them.
I didn't know Ravenous was a Wendigo. We'll watch and look it's for the awesome movie. Too, I'm telling you, look for the movie Wendigo. I don't want to blow it up like it's this amazing movie, but it's a cool movie.
But he's also going to constantly tell you how amazing it is.
It's from like the early 2000s.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Georgie3 says, okay, since the only horror movie that freaked me out when I was a kid, your thoughts on The Prince of Darkness. That's the movie that freaked you out as a kid?
Okay.
I get it. Did you not see other ones?
No, I can understand that. It depends on what level of kid, though. Because, like, I mean, if it's pre-humping, then yeah, that makes sense. That would definitely freak me out. But post-humping, that wasn't a scary movie at all. That was like 20, I think. I was very late bloomer.
I did like Prince of Darkness. And actually,
great.
Alice Cooper's scenes in those movies are really creepy. For sure. That's a great like sleeper John Carpenter movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anybody hasn't seen it. Paul Dunn, laugh aloud, she's almost done. Oh, come on, Sam, you gotta stick with us. You guys are gonna get married. She's gonna make you quit the snobs, man.
Whoa. That is unacceptable. Whoa. Hey.
Sam.
Hey, Sam.
You're a scene snob now too.
Yeah, look.
You got to stay.
Part of the crew.
We're not right. always like this. We most sometimes, of the time. Sometimes, yeah, all right. Most of the time. Most of the time.
But it's, but it's only always. 1 hour a week.
That's right? true.
Right?
That's true. And sometimes more.
Well, calm down with that. Ease them in.
The ghost one is kind of cool.
The ghost not one's going to be fun. You might have more fun with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah maybe more true. Your cup of tea.
Very true.
Yeah.
George C3 says
it was pre. I was nine. Okay, perfect. So, yeah.
You weren't having sex when you were nine?
You are awkward because you had sex when you were like.
Did you not have a teacher? I don't even know
what.
Awkward yep. silence.
So, when the record needle hit, that was the night.
I need to get that sound bit.
It was better to just have pure silence. Yeah, man, that was scary. Everything was scary pre-9 or around that age because at 9, like, is when I first watched Big Trouble in Little China. And that was mostly because of the John Carpenter. He was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So,
Joshi 3 says, holy cow, I'm going to be 48 on Saturday. It was almost 40 years ago. Wow. I saw it.
Well, happy birthday,
happy
buddy.
Birthday to you, sir.
Yeah.
You
40
know.
Years ago. Yeah, I mean, that was once again Big Trouble in Little China, The Thing.
Yeah, I mean, you
have Prince of Darkness, and then what else? Escape from New York.
They Live.
Thank you.
Christine.
So the man had some serious horror chops.
The horror king.
Yeah, anything that he did, you can never really. I love it personally, and I know Mick loved most of it, if not all of it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course it's scary. A lot of those movies are scary.
You know, I have argued this a lot with people.
Just because he likes to argue. That's
true.
For anything
that's true.
Else.
John Carpenter movies, a lot of people like bash Ghosts of Mars and like the Memoirs of the Invisible Man and stuff like that. And I get it. I get why you don't like the movie. But if you watch that movie and you can't appreciate what he did with his filmmaking in there, mm-hmm. you are missing it. You're
no, missing valid. And it goes honestly, Ghosts of Mars, I did not like Ghosts of Mars when I first watched it. I did mm-hmm. not. It took me like a third viewing to finally be like, it's John Carpenter. I have to find something in here. And oddly enough, I watched it and I enjoyed it. I realized I wasn't really paying attention those other times.
Yeah, you
got that's one of those things. You miss a couple little beats and it's like, oh, crap.
Push, what's her name? Natasha Henstridge and Ice Cube and everybody off to the side and just be like, okay, they're characters in the movie. And then watch the tension he builds. Mm-hmm. Like the things in the background that are happening. Like he's still John Carpenter. He does it. He just had a script that was, you know, well, and in fact, the script's not different. A bad idea. It's not a bad idea. It's just it was very Hollywoodized.
Yeah, well, it you was know? Very Hollywoodized. They had a lot of money behind it, too.
Yeah.
Oddly, for who was in it.
And look who they liked it.
But admittedly, I love Natasha Henstridge. I think she's a great actress. I always had a blast whenever her movies were on.
I will not agree to that.
What? I thought she was great.
I think she was good.
Well, she was good. She was a very good actress.
She was a good
actress. She was a good actress.
I
almost said passable. That's right. We got to move on because it's about to drop. It's all the lines are dropping. No. Well, because, I mean, I'm sorry, but Ice-T isn't exactly the best actor either. He's good.
See, that's how unmemorable he is in that movie. You said Ice-T and it was Ice Cube.
Oh, see? Yeah.
NWA, baby. They're coming after you.
Yeah, someone will.
I would not want Ice Cube coming after me. I don't care how many family movies he makes. I get what George is saying. Mommy Dearest was disturbing when I was a kid. Mommy Dearest was disturbing.
Yeah.
Because I've been hit with hangers.
Yeah, but that's a Jersey thing.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then also, Mommy Dearest, what was the one that freaked me out there? Flowers in the Attic got me.
That one messed me up.
That
too.
Messed me
that
up
messed
hard.
Me up big time.
With the weird aunt doing all the weird messed up stuff to the kids. Like, I didn't even catch on to the messed up stuff between brother-sister thing. Forget that part.
Being locked in an attic.
Yeah.
You know?
What is that?
Yeah.
And that could be a thing. I was more terrified that could happen.
Yeah.
I worked so hard to make sure my parents all stayed alive for as long as possible because I was like, I'm not getting shipped off. They may seem nice now, but then when you're living with them, you don't know what they're like.
So needless to say, if God forbid your parents die and you're not rich, or even if you are rich, because they're going to be an ant or something that comes to take you.
Yeah, secret garden effect kind of deal. Maybe they're an invalid.
Run away.
Run
away.
Yeah, no, don't do it.
Oh, I hope nobody does it. I mean, or I don't know, actually. There's so many messed up things in the world. Like when Mary watches every Mother's Day, Mommy Dearest. Like,
yes.
That was like her tradition.
Yeah.
And when we met, she was like, yeah, every Mother's Day I watch Mommy Dearest. And I was just like, I can't watch this movie.
She got a very different message than we did, apparently, because I watched that and I'm like, nah.
I looked at that and I'm like, and that was the first time I ever watched it. I watched it with her. I knew what it was, but I was like, I stayed away from those kind of movies because, like, I live those types of movies. So, so
some of us from good homes are like, can you believe this happened to people? This happens? And then you meet other people and it's like, what?
It wasn't always 6'8".
Yeah, the Judd Nelson thing. It's like, yeah.
Well, it's funny because, like, I was just like, you weren't beat as a kid, were you? It's like, because you wouldn't watch this movie the same way. But Paul says, you'll always be part of our family. You both will be getting invitations to our wedding. We are snobbits for...
Snobbits!
Hashtag snobbits t-shirt. Yes. And that's probably been the percentage
of welcome to the Paul Rudd Challenge, people.
To that one.
I don't know if you guys feel more Ruddian, but I sure do.
Dude. Paul Rudd doesn't dress like a pirate. That's Alan Tudyk.
I'm cool with that.
Which is, I'm okay with that.
I mean, that's fine. Look, if I fall short of Paul Rudd into Alan Tudyk, that's a pretty good summer. That's true. It's a pretty good summer.
Mystical Limits 02 asks, would you consider Joyride a road trip movie? Yes, 100%. I'd say, yeah, very underrated movie.
I love Joyride, man. When it first came out, I didn't understand why people didn't like it. I didn't understand all the flack it was getting. I was like, this is really good. It's Steve Zahn, Paul Walker, man. That was fantastic.
It was very mismatched, though, because Paul Walker wasn't that famous at the time.
And Steve Zahn was comedic. But... Well, not really famous, but he had done more movies.
Like that's like sticking a teenager and his uncle on a road trip. But I like them both.
You just mean physically their age difference makes it uncomfortable for everyone else involved. Like, I don't know if you really make friends at this age group like this.
And they're playing brothers, and you're just like, you couldn't get like somebody else with Paul Walker or somebody else with Steve Zahn.
Yeah. Maybe they wanted Freddie Prinze and wound up with Steve Zahn. That's a heck of a swing and a miss, huh?
I don't know that I'd like that movie either. I don't know that I'd be a fan. Maybe Freddie Prinze and Matthew Lillard. That'd be a good one.
Wing Commander was fantastic, man. I love Wing Commander. No, I don't understand the hate
you
for
do
Wing
not
Commander.
Get that.
Wing Commander is one of the best movies ever. And I'm sorry, but when it comes to cheesy teenage, early 2000s rom-com sci-fi, bro. Starship Troopers, Wing Commander. Boom. Best weekend ever.
You got your double feature for Saturday night. It's a la Casey. That is a madman pick, and you can
tell that is, yeah. And you will all enjoy your weekends with that double feature, folks. Well, let me tell you what, Sam, you'll be pegging Paul in no time with that pick.
Let me ask you this.
Is that right?
I have no idea. What do you think about the remake of She's All That called He's All That?
You know what? People are going to have different artistic interpretations of movies that we've seen 1,000 times over, and it's going to be the same story in some version or another, so we just need to get over ourselves and let it happen.
You heard it here first. That's done and done.
Oh, is it going to be good? No. Will I watch it?
We don't have any award shows for you to do your bit.
Yeah, I know.
Children of the Corn was a road movie, but it was like it was also.
But that's
like,
a destination because destination, they wound up in the town. So
yes, they're stuck in the town. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Now, if Michael was a road trip,
that's a road trip movie.
Boom.
Back to the Future. Road trip movie. He stayed in the same town.
Yes, he did. Blues Brothers.
But he was traveling.
Road trip movie.
Why do I always take it back to the future?
Because it's your favorite movie.
Was Jurassic Park a road trip movie?
It was a destination movie.
They were in the destination, but at least, yeah, I get that.
Because it's a theme park. That's it. Once again, you have a creature. It's a creature. Monster movie.
Yeah, it's like a Westworld type movie. okay. One thing we both watched this weekend that we want to talk about, not the Suicide Squad. That is what we watched, but we don't want to talk about the movie. Because everybody talks about the movie, and that's not what we do here at Scene Stops. We talk about what we want to talk about.
Yeah, so I am also going to say Idris Elba is a stud.
Yeah, but you can say that.
I continuously say that because if you haven't seen Luther yet, then stop what you're doing immediately after watching this and just drop the dishes, let everything shatter around you, and go watch Luther.
And then come back and listen to this episode or watch this episode again.
And thank us.
And thank us.
Because then we're going to tell you to go watch Pacific Rim. Because he took a movie that had no need for any acting ability whatsoever and gave it that much more need.
That is true.
Of quantifying an acting ability.
That is true. Like, that's
the one thing. He's the only one who gave credence to that entire movie.
Idris Elba. Okay, so what The Rock does for like sequels, like where you put The Rock in your sequel, is probably going to be a
Disney
hit.
Movie at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be a
Race
hit.
To Witch Mountain, for crying out loud, was decent.
Well, no, I would say he did the Disney back in the day. Now it's more like he gets stuck in sequels or gets put in sequels, and he revives franchises.
Yeah.
Idris Elba is the guy you go to when you realize you have Hobbs and Shaw, and you're like, it's Hobbs and Shaw. People are going to go see it because it's a Fast Furious movie and it's action-packed, but there's no acting in it whatsoever.
Right.
And then you put Idris Elba in it, and you're like, all right.
Hey, some chops.
Men.
That's... Hey, there you go. Yeah.
It's like you've established there's some.
There, you know? Yeah. Like once he's in anything, you go, all right, it's going to be pretty good. Yeah. It's going to have a little schmutz. It's going to have something going on.
And that worked. That worked for a lot of movies he did. Yeah. Pacific Rim, like you had said. But The Suicide Squad had double that.
With Margot Robbie?
No. She's great, and I love
Margot Robbie. She's amazing, and I love her character. Her use of Harley Quinn is awesome. She has taken that character and made it hers, a la Hugh Jackman and Wolverine. I think they're inseparable, and I think she is nailable.
Yeah, and I don't take anything away from her acting. I think she's a good actress.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
You can see that in a lot of her films. The Harley Quinn thing, though, she does a great job as Harley Quinn and what we want to see in a live-action Harley Quinn.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you watch it, and it's like... You have source material to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So you did a great job. You're perfect as her. Yeah, I hope you always stay her.
Yep.
But I don't think you're bringing anything to the acting table.
In terms of the way Idris Elba raises the stakes there. Okay, I'll agree with that. Yes.
You watch the first Suicide Squad movie as Will Smith and everybody has these big names, but there's like no real acting to it whatsoever. And Jared Leto's in it.
I mean, for crying out loud, Jai Courtney was trying. I mean, because I'm sorry, he ruined my Die Hard movies. He did.
Yeah.
He did it. He was just not good in that movie. And that might have just been the chemistry with him and Bruce Willis in Die Hard 4. There was something bad there.
No, that was 5.
5. Sorry, that was Die Hard 5.
It was Justin Long in 4.
Yeah, I love 4, though, because they had the F-22 in the middle of the mixing bowl. It's like, I drive through there. Oh, my.
Freaking Air Force over here. I will say this, though. Suicide Squad has double that with Viola Davis, too.
Dude, Viola Davis.
Oh, my God. In this movie, James Gunn, you can hate the movie.
God.
I'm not reviewing
the movie. She was so good. Viola Davis is so amazing in everything she does. I said that to my daughter. I said literally, I paused it because I was listening on, like, headphones, and I had it on my phone. So that's the only way I could watch it. I was in Connecticut.
That's fair.
We have nothing.
They don't have anything in Connecticut.
Nothing. So I'm watching it on the phone. And finally, I just pause it, and I look up, and I'm like, River, Viola Davis is amazing. And she just looks at me like, Daddy, what are you even talking about? I was like, don't worry about it. You'll just need to know this.
The thing that bothers me is, like, people watching this, again, you don't have to like the movie. I don't care. But you have to at least, like, especially if you're a comic book fan, appreciate certain characters in it. Viola Davis in the first one was not Amanda Waller. She was called Amanda Waller. She was acting that way. She was trying to be, you know, hard and stuff. The second one, that's Amanda Waller.
Yeah, she was full on Amanda Waller. It was truly the character that we expect and anticipate. Mm-hmm. When you say you're Amanda Waller, you have to bring a brutality to the character.
Who trusts just no superhumans, no metahumans.
She just doesn't care. She has no...
Yeah, and she will go to whatever extent to do what she thinks needs to be done.
And she did a fantastic job of it.
And Idris Elba on the other side, kind of taking over. Now, let's face facts. Bloodsport was a clear, you know, they couldn't make him, which I don't know why, but they couldn't make him Will Smith's character Deadshot. So they gave him Bloodsport.
I'm sure it's contractual.
It's the same thing. It's the same.
And then they make a joke about it with Peacemaker John Cena's character.
It's like, you already got one. Yeah. You need me for it.
Yeah. We do the same thing.
I love that. But the thing about Idris Elba is he added a gravitas to it. And I want to actually point out one thing that Mystical Limits says. Idris Elba needs to be the new Bond. I do agree.
I'm so on the fence with this because I want Idris Elba to be the new Bond. but I also want Idris Elba to do something cooler than Bond. I'm done with Bond. I'm tired of Bond. Every time new Bond comes out, like with this new Daniel Craig Bond coming out, I get it, it's a huge franchise and people get paid millions for it and it's a huge deal. I want Idris Elba to do it to make the money. How about that? I think he deserves the money, but he's just done so many great roles that I think he's, I don't care. I don't care about Bond. I don't care.
My only thing about him playing Bond is I do agree. Make him the new Bond because he's a great actor and he can pull it off.
Yeah.
I like him and I think he's in a comfort zone when he plays kind of like relaxed characters more. Like they have a cool demeanor. They're not like, you know, their tie's undone type of character, yeah. Things like that. Like he's, could he pull off the swag of Bond? Yeah, of course.
I mean, he does that all the time without needing the tuxedo. The guy does it, man. He's awesome.
Chris Sales says, Luther was so good.
Yes.
Ruth Wilson was perfect.
Wasn't she? She was such a great foil for them. It was so brilliant watching them just tactically going at each other, using the mind games. Oh, it's fantastic.
And then I love the slicing and the dicing and the killing in the new SS. We're not touching that one. You want the SS to slice and dice? That's on you, buddy.
Scene snaps. Weren't you the one who said, hey, I'm putting a merch store together and we should put something with SS in
there? No, I said tattoos. And I didn't say SS.
You did say magic tattoos. I did not say SS.
Tramagic. I did not say
we're not getting SS. Tramagic tattoos. No.
Isn't it tramagic? Yeah, no, we're definitely going to get traumatic tattoos.
No.
We're going to get there one day.
Face tattoos. Jumping.
I did like the hardcore nature of the new Suicide Squad movie, yes. But we are not talking about that. In fact, we're running out of time to talk about anything. So maybe we'll come back to this one because we have announcements.
Yeah, let's announcement stuff. Awesome. I'm so glad we had such a great time setting that up. And we're going to completely lose that topic now.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. So make
no,
sure
let's even not. Shh, let's get a or will time. We?
Yeah, you don't know. It's a question mark. So come back next week and find out.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. I want more of the Man from U.N.C.L.E. I preferred that to the later Daniel Craig and Casino Royale. Good luck with Armie Hammer.
Yeah, anyone else. I mean, there's big Russian guys.
We can actually find Russian guys. Sorry, Suicide Squad. Squad.
Squad.
Oh, George, isn't
squad
that...
goals.
Isn't that tragic?
That's... No, it's squad goals now.
Squad.
Okay? Squad goals. Squad goals.
We got some squad goals. I love it. Okay, so some announcements. What are our announcements? I forgot.
We have a merch shop.
Yes, that's on the thing.
We have a merch shop.
If you go... I probably should have pulled it. Oh, I did pull it up. Okay, I can share. I'm going to share a screen.
He's got this.
I'm there. So, yes, we have a new merch shop with some very fun things, and I'm going to show you up close the pictures of stuff.
And
so
things. That.
Come back down. So,
there we go.
All right, so here we go. We got you have our Scene Snobs logo. I really love the Tumblr with the logo. It's I think that's tight. Cool. We have our Let's Get Geeky shirt. Let me explain it to you.
Yeah, of course.
You can get it in shirts, you can get it in hoodies, you can get it in
mugs,
anything. Yeah, mugs, you can get it phone cases. We got the
things we look and we'll look and then tell you what we see.
Yes.
And then tell you. So
our Got Entertainment. We made a PSA shirt. Do you even snobs, bro?
Embrace the absurdity.
Embrace absurdity and our aha.
Yeah, the aha.
Aha shirt.
Aha.
Aha.
Uh-huh.
And we have more coming. So, like, we're going to have some fun stuff. Traumatic. It's going to happen. It's going to be a thing. You got to have it.
The thing is, that's going to be the one that takes off the most, and it's going to drive me insane.
First off, I want to say this. Snobby
Award t-shirts?
No.
Yes.
Because I'm still working on the certificates. I sent them out. Oh, I don't even want to get into that.
Get them done.
Oh, my God.
Because I want to get Snobby Award t-shirts. But all it is an annual shirt, but it'll be like a tuxedo shirt. And it'll just say Snobby's whatever Snobby Award season
it is. Oh, my God. Let's just paint you gold, and you're just going to be going as an Oscar.
Done.
Yes. All right. Listen, everybody. Here's the deal. Who won a Snobby Award? Next year, you're just getting the certificates emailed to you. No trophies. But this year, I will get the certificates made
We'll figure out something cooler. Got you.
We'll see. I don't know. That was so much work. I know what I'm getting Sam for her birthday now.
Squad goals.
So just to show everybody up close, like what the merch looks like, and we have other announcements.
But you just did.
Well, I didn't show them. Like, you know, of course you have our logo. Do you even snobs, bro? And then, of course, one of my personal favorites. Aha. And then I like this one, our PSA.
Life is like an unmarked VHS tape. You never know what you're going to get.
And that is the truth.
It is truth. Yeah, I've seen a lot of things I didn't want to.
God Entertainment comes with any, all these come with any color backgrounds. Let's get geeky.
8 hours of designing women was too much for an 8-year-old boy.
I don't know what that means. Embrace absurdity. Of course, that's our biggest thing. We embrace
that's absurdity. That's the world, man. That's what we need to do. That's just how to live life. Embrace the absurd.
That's what we do here.
All the time.
Let me explain it to you. That, of course, comes from my famous line when I said, let me explain it to you. and then, of course, Tremagic is on its way.
No, it's not.
Maybe. we'll see.
I think he's still going.
I don't think it sticks. We're going to have to see how it handles online. So, everybody, thumbs up for Tremagic or thumbs down?
Let us know.
Yeah.
And let us know in comments and then let your friends know. Mm-hmm. And then get your friends involved because then they'll have to watch. And
yes.
Then they'll ask their friends about it. So, really, this is a big deal about Tremagic.
Yeah.
So, it could be a Tremagedy.
Another shirt. Tremagic part two. Tremagedy.
Tremagic part two, the Tremagedy.
So I want to, one thing I do want to announce, that's, of course, we have our Patreon, CSNOS Patreon. You can go. It's $5 a month. You know, we do have swag and stuff and things like that. So
why'd you look at your penis when you said swag?
Because it is. So
he has a direct link to his Tinder, too. Apparently.
We do a prize giveaway every month. And last month Chris Sales won the scratch off poster. The month before that it was a vinyl pop, which should be actually there soon, Paul. It was on back order. And then of course this month we have the drinking game, the movie quotes drinking game. And of course all of our eligible Patreons will win at the end of the month on the what show are we doing? On the 31st, we will announce the winner.
Yeah, the very last of the month.
Yeah, so August 31st, we will announce the winner of the drinking game, and that will be that. Now,
we're very excited.
So we announced the Patreon. We announced the merch.
Mm-hmm.
We are also doing a for independent filmmakers and things like that. We're doing a page on the website. We have completely redesigned the website.
Yes, the website's fantastic. Please join it, check it out. We have a whole lot of links in there for all of our friends who are independent filmmakers. A lot of people that we're trying to get, you know, some people have the Indiegogos, fundraisers, whatever else they've got going, other ways to reach out and connect. So
trailers to see what they did, you know, exactly. Things like that.
So please check it out, join us, follow around. We love supporting our independent filmmaker friends. So please check it out.
Yeah, so please, and I'm still in the midst of working it out. There are a few things up there. One, of course, August 15th, this weekend. Horror Tales 666 Part 2. Our good buddy Phil Herman, his movie. I bought this to support, and I love mugs anyway. I collect them. I picked that up, so it's coming out. So you can go. We have it up, and it's going to be on the site very soon. So go and support them. They are raising funds for Part 3, or you can go and buy Part 2. Part 2 will help fund Part 3, and you get a movie out of it.
And also Bloody Summer Camp will be coming out on Blu-ray release very soon. I believe it's in 2 weeks, they said, is what I saw on their site. You would have to check on Slash.
I didn't know that. I thought it was November, but okay.
No, very it cool. Looked much sooner than that from what I read. So
that's up on the site now. So you can go and check out Bloody Summer Camp. And Horror Tales 666 Part 2 is going to be up there soon.
And then Mark Burns' Bigfoot is out as well recently.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can pick up. You can pick up copies. And it's also on Amazon Prime. So you can watch it there.
Yeah.
And that, and you can watch Remnants is actually on, not on Amazon Prime. Remnants is, I will find out. It's called Monster Flicks. It's on Roku.
Man, we really need to get a list together so we're a little more. Sorry to anyone we haven't spoken to. I'm sorry. Or anyone we didn't shout out. We love all our projects and all of our friends. Oh, Frickin' Frackin'. Oh, gosh. Peeping Tom.
Oh, yeah. The event surrounding
A Peeping Tom.
Last week, we had Hannah Fearman, of course, from VHS and Siren, and many more, Creepshow Season 2. Damien Maffei is in it from, of course, the new Wrong Turn movie, Strangers Pray by Night, Felicia Rose.
So pretty cool project from some friends. So we had a couple on the show last week, the producer and, well, both producer and director. So fantastic to have them. And please support their project. We love them. And it does look pretty awesome.
Raising funds now.
I'm very excited about that. So there's a lot of cool stuff coming up. So it's pretty exciting. We should probably get out of here now.
Yeah, it's a little, we've run past time. I feel like
we've gone too far, and now we're kind of annoying everybody.
I do want to say, Chris Sale says, 100% beginning some tanks. I listen in the gym, so it just feels right. And ooh, you're looking good, dude.
Yeah, right.
I see these pictures.
All right, strong, man.
Sexy man.
Strong.
George G3, we love you, too.
I love you, too, buddy. Absolutely.
George G3, the Prince of Darkness. That's what we're calling you.
Yes! Squid Ghost.
Squid Ghost. I love it. all right. Thank you, everybody. We, of course, are the Scene Snobs. We love you guys. You're amazing.
We appreciate you. Be well and be kind to each other.
Good night, everybody.